Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We welcome Mufti Saab onto the program. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum afizwadi. We welcome all the local, national, international listeners on this Mubarak day of Jumad al-Ukhra, the 28th of Jumad al-Ukhra, to 1441. Tomorrow evening, inshallah, we should scan the sky wherever we are, and inshallah, once the moon, the crescent, is sighted, because it's more than 25 hours old, that will usher in the Mubarak blessed month of Rajab, inshallah al-Aziz. And before we start with the Q&A, I must place on record my sincerest thanks and appreciation, jazahumullahu khairan, to Maulana Salim Kareem, to Mufti Bilal Qasim of Newcastle, and Maulana Salim Kareem of Ladysmith, and Mufti Musa Saleh of Durban, for filling in all my programs during my absence for Umrah. May Almighty Allah reward them in both the worlds. Barakallahu fik.
Well, I mean, we say Jazakallah khair to Mufti Saab, and Alhamdulillah, Mufti Saab had arrived from Umrah during the course of the week. Mufti Saab had been in Cape Town as well. Mufti Saab got back home today, and Alhamdulillah, Mufti Saab is with us to continue with the Q&A program. Mufti Saab has also mentioned, and I'm sure many of the esteemed listeners locally, nationally, internationally are also aware that the next month is going to be approaching very, very soon. And can Mufti Saab tell us at the beginning of this next Islamic month, what must one be reading?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We find that tomorrow evening, that's Monday night after Maghrib, we should scan the sky wherever we are in South Africa. And it is more than 25 hours, mashallah. So inshallah, the crescent, the moon will be sighted. Say Allahu Akbar, Hilalu Khairin wa Rushdin. O Almighty Allah, Jalla wa Ala, make this new moon and crescent and this month a month of khair and goodness for us and the Ummat e Muslimah. Wa Rushdin, and a month of righteousness. These words, Hilalu Khairin wa Rushdin, are mentioned in Abu Dawood. Similarly, that once the confirmation comes through from the various ulama groups, then remember we will read the dua as mentioned in Mishkat Sharif. Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Shaban wa balighna Ramadan. O Almighty Allah, Jalla wala, grant us barakah, blessing during these months of Rajab and Shaban, and spare us, Ya Allah, for Ramadan 1441, Ramadan 2020, so that we can reap the maximum benefit in minimum time. And barakah means al-ashya'ul qalila wal-manafi'ul kathira. That if we look at it, we possess little bit, but the benefit that accrues from there is so much. So that is what we are asking, begging, petitioning Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. And one more point, inshallah, if tomorrow evening after Maghrib, then the moon, the crescent is sighted, and then Tuesday will be the first of Rajab, then we know Makkah Mukarramah, Madinah Munawwara, Masjid Aqsa, South Africa, and 99% of the countries, all of us will be on par, because tomorrow is the 30th, inshallah, in Makkah Mukarramah, Madinah Munawwara, of Jumad al-Ukhra.
Jazakallah khair for that, Mufti Saab. Mufti Saab, is there any hadith that says that the status of the husband is greater than the status of the father-in-law?
Remember that a person asked Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a similar question. The hadith is mentioned in Mustadrak Hakim. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inna a'adaman nasi haqqan ala rajul ummuhu. I am married. I have my wife, alhamdulillah. My mom passed away in 97. Father passed away in 1982. Allah grant them Jannatul Firdaus. So let's say I have my mom as well, honorable mother. So who has a greater right? So Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam states, even after you are married, your mother has a greater right over you, O son, compared to your wife. وَإِنَّ أَعْدَمَ النَّاسِ حَقًّا عَلَى الْمَرْأَى زَوْجُهَا. And when that lady gets married, then remember her husband has a greater right over her than even her own biological parents. Obviously, that does not mean now the husband must deprive her totally and say that now you can't contact your parents, we won't take you there, you can't go visit them. That is not what Islam is saying. But Islam is saying, this is your new home now. So when you stay with your husband, you're reading full salat all the time in this new home of yours. When you're going to visit your parents' place, you're going for a weekend, 2-3 days and so forth. So remember that there, by your parents' place, where you grew up for 20, 25 years, 17, 18 years, remember that there you will be reading Qasr Salat. Therefore, if you study our elders, they did not have so much information and knowledge, but mashallah, they had the fear of Almighty Allah, the love of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they would tell their beloved daughter 1-2 days, 1 week before nikah, "Eh, Pyari Beti, oh my lovely, my beloved daughter, see, that is your home. You are going there by your husband. Make sure that your janaza also comes out from there." Subhanallah, trying to tell their daughter that you will go through turbulence in life. Dukh, sukh, happiness, joy, prosperity, adversity. But try always to make the home and not to break the home. So that is the meaning of the hadith. May Allah give us tawfiq to understand.
I mean, Mufti Saab, many people are in the situation, they intend to go for Umrah during the March school holidays, but the fear is the coronavirus. Mufti Saab, please comment.
When we were there in the Haramain Sharifain, so people came to me, some South Africans, there weren't many of them, but a few. So there the news broke that in Saudi Arabia, in some parts, the coronavirus, and then in other parts of the world, it's spreading and so forth and so on. So remember, in a case like this, that remember we will say it and tell the people, daily read 2 rakat salat and read the following dua. Read with me now. The hadith is authentic in Abu Dawood and Sunan Nasai as well. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika. O beloved Allah, I seek your protection. Min, from. Sayyi'il asqam. Sayyi'il asqam. O Allah, Jalla wa'ala, I seek your protection from the dreaded diseases, the evil sicknesses. Inshallah, you go. So whether it is in March or April or Ramadan or Hajj or whatever, you should never cancel your program for Umrah, for Hajj to Medina Munawwara because of these waswasa and whisperings. Remember, you go, read 2 rakat salat daily and read Surah 2, Chapter 2, verse 128. وَأَرِنَا مَنَاسِكَنَا وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. O beloved Allah, you show us the places of Hajj and Umrah and forgive us, O Allah. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Indeed, you are very, very forgiving, of forgiving, very merciful. And you beg Allah, apna mehman bana de. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam ka mehman bana de. Make me your guest, O Allah, Jalla wala. Make me the guest of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we will never discourage people. We will always encourage people. Yes, you get the shaitans in the world today. I just got a post now on my phone that the enemies of Islam, they say you must curse the Sahaba like Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Aisha, and then the coronavirus will go away. These are the people who are Satans themselves, and they have nothing to do with Islam. Islam, they're out of the fold of Islam. So each one of us needs to understand that these places, Makkah Mukarrama, Madinah Munawwara, are the most sacred and holiest places, and Masjid al-Aqsa, Palestine, is the third holiest place. So we have opportunity, we should grab it and go, inshallah. Do not let the waswasa and whisperings of shaitan get the better of us.
JazakAllah khair for that, Mufti Sahib. Our next question, Mufti Sahib, if a new masjid is built in close proximity to another masjid, can the older one be closed or demolished?
Kalla wa hasha wa kalla, never ever. Remember, you can never demolish a masjid and just close it down. Once you build a masjid, wa anna al masajida lillah, for those of us who are not familiar with the Muslim Islamic terms, so what you call a mosque, so we call masjid singular and masajid the plural. Once we have built that masjid, it will remain masjid right till the day of justice, till the day of Qiyamah. To demolish it, close it, and say now we will forget that masjid and we will then go now by the new masjid only, totally haram, unlawful in Islam. Yes, you demolish the masjid, and then at that same spot, that same place, then you build a total new masjid, because that one day was very old. They fear that the walls will fall or the roof will fall. So that's a different issue, it's permissible. But to say because you built a new masjid, so the old masjid which is in the close proximity, we're going to demolish it or close it and lock it up, remember, totally haram and not permissible. Therefore, one of the prerequisites for the masjid, the land, the sand, all that, remember, it belongs to Almighty Allah. Waqf. Waqf means that you have made Almighty Allah the owner, whether it is the structure, whether it is the land or the sand. On Saturday morning, so yesterday in fact, that I was in Cape Town Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and I delivered a lecture there to the ladies, and I mentioned two things to them. I said, see my mothers and sisters and daughters, that when you go to Fa'as, we call it Fa'as, and the West, they call it Fez, and this is in Morocco, in North Africa, and go study the oldest university in the entire world. And if you want a reference of it, go to the UNESCO website, you will find it. And this is Jamia Qayrawan. I visited there, mashallah. And that land and that place was dedicated, given waqf by Fatima Fihri. The lady belonged to a rich family, but she took out her money and said, this is my contribution to Islam. So sincere, it became the oldest university that's going on continuously without interruption up to this day, subhanallah. You come to our beloved South Africa and you go to Cape Town. Subhanallah, 1994, we got our democracy, turned the clock back two centuries, 1794, in Boerkaap, next to the Hilton Hotel. So you just walk 100, 120 meters, you will find Owal Masjid, the first masjid on the soil of South Africa, and that is in Boerkaap in Cape Town. Subhanallah, Sarki Fandikap. So Sarki, this is the type of name just to keep, and she was from Cape Town, Fandikap. She dedicated the land and sand, everything for that masjid. So see what sincerity they did so. Centuries are passing, and yes, over the passing of time, you renovate the masjid, you refurbish it, all that is good. But to demolish the masjid, absolutely haram and not permissible.
JazakAllah khair for that, Mufti Sahib. Is there any amal to practice when afflicted or affected with blood cancer, Mufti Sahib?
When a person is ill, whether it is blood cancer, whether you want to call it leukemia, whether you have AIDS, Allah forbid, or coronavirus, or any other sickness, illness, Allah protect us, always read these two du'as. Number one, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min sayyi'il asqam wa taqaf. Oh, beloved Allah, I seek your protection from the dreaded diseases. And we all want health, we want wealth, we want honor, we want the good things of life that are permissible. So remember, read the following dua abundantly. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyah. Oh, beloved Allah, we beg of thee for ourselves, our spouses, our children, our parents, our siblings. Oh, beloved Allah, we beg of you forgiveness. Forgive us, Ya Allah. We admit, we confess, we are sinners and transgressors. Wal afiya. Afiya, safety, comfort, good health, wealth, honor, dignity. So the wealth of Iman and Islam must remain preserved, protected. Fiddini wal dunya wal akhirah. Regarding my religion, regarding my worldly, mundane matters and affairs, and the year after. So open Musnad Ahmad and you will find these type of ahadith. So we read these two du'as. Now you are already sick. You are in clinic, you're in hospital. They send you back home. The medical fraternity say they can't do anything. Now what? So then we go to Quran Sharif, Surah 21, Chapter 21, Verse 83. And my mother there in Chatsworth will shout me. So I say, remember in the 17th Juz, 17th Supara, what is the dua supplication? You read Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu salam's dua. Anni masaniya durru wa anta rahamur rahimin. Oh beloved Allah, this calamity, this disaster has befallen me. But you Allah, whilst you are the most merciful one to show mercy, you got aches and pains in your knee, in your elbow, in your stomach, in your back, in your front or whatever. So read Anni masaniya durru wa anta rahamur rahimin abundantly. There's pains and aches and worry and sorry and anxiety. Surah 21, verse 87. They all together these verses in the 17th Juz, 17th para, the dua of Nabi Yunus alayhi salatu salam. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu minal zalimin. Truly it is none worthy of worship except you, O Almighty Allah. Everlasting glory, perfection is only for you, O Allah. I am the wrongdoer. I am the one who committed the mistakes or sins in our case. And you read Surah Fatiha. The person, if he or she can manage, you read yourself. You're so ill, you can't manage, tell your son, your brother, daughter, somebody to read for you. Bukhari Sharif's hadith. Read Surah Fatiha 7 times and blow on the person who's ill and sick. And the hadith is authentic in Bukhari Sharif. Therefore, Surah Fatiha, the opening chapter of the Noble Quran, is known as Surah to Shifa, the chapter which, inshallah, with the power, grace, and mercy of Allah, will give cure to the person. So that is what you should do. All of you who are ill and sick. Point number one, you must remember that la taqnatu min rahmatillah. Never become despondent and disillusioned in the mercy of Allah. Always remain positive. Half your illness, sickness then will be cured. Our people become negative and they lose hope. And that is the path to ruin and destruction. So always remain positive. Things are going better, alhamdulillah. Things are not going so well, so alhamdulillah ya la kulli hal. We praise Almighty Allah Jalla Wala in all cases and circumstances.
I mean, Mufti Sahib, many people have been accredited for Hajj for this year, but the question arises, which agent should they choose to go for Hajj?
Alhamdulillah, in South Africa, I think, I'm not 100% sure, but maybe you have plus minus 20 agents that are accredited. You can go to the Sahuk website and see which agents are accredited and so forth. And then you ask them, they will give you their websites and then you can see that who you want to go with. Don't just look at the cheapest price. Remember that sometimes Afrikaans is a wonderful language. Goedkoop as duurkoop, if you understood Afrikaans. Sometimes when you take cheap things, it works out so expensive because so many things were excluded. So first thing, you got ABC agent, you got XYZ agent. So read now with me. Allahumma, O beloved Allah. Khirli, K-H-I-R. Khirli, O beloved Allah, you select the best for me. Wakhtarli, and you choose for me. Whatever comes in your heart, in your mind, that's your answer. You don't have to sleep, you don't have to dream, nothing of that sort there. If you are asking with who, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala take us, so we go with TTW, Travel and Tour World. You contact Brother Hussein Khan, Brother Ashraf Muhammad, 031 209-9292, the landline number in Durban, 031-209-9292, and they will give you all their packages, inshallah. Remember, there's 5-week, 4-week, 3-week, 2-week packages. So whatever suits you, suits your pocket, so you'd go with them, whoever you wish, inshallah. But those of us who are accredited, we're going to go with the help and mercy of Allah, inshallah, Aziz, daily read 2 rakat salat, and say, وَأَرِنَا مَنَاسِكَنَا وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Surah chapter 2, verse 128, you read abundantly, and Allah Jalla Wala will make this dream a reality.
Ameen. Mufti Saab, moving on with the questions. Can a lady make Imamat for ladies only?
The hadith is mentioned in Abu Dawood. Imam Abu Dawood, rahimahullah, brought a tarjamatul bab, a heading, Imamatun Nisa. That imamat made by the ladies, for ladies, obviously. So this is a three-part question. Question number one will be, can a female, a lady, make imamat for men? So remember, that's haram, not permissible. You can't have a lady in front and the men are at the back. So obviously, then they will not be praying, P-R-A-Y, they'll be praying, P-R-E-Y, they'll be see looking at so many things of that lady and all these things. So that's not permissible in Islam. Second scenario is this, that the lady is the imam and there are women behind her, only exclusively women. So there was a lady, Umme Waraqa radiallahu anha, and she requested Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Madinah Munawwara, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that the ladies want to come and I will make the imamat and so forth. You come and show us that which place in my house should we make the imamat and so forth. Nevertheless, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wasallam granted the consent, and therefore the Shafi'i scholars, the Hanbali scholars, they give permission for that and they say it's permissible. But obviously there's conditions attached. You can't be going there with lipstick and dubstick and all these things here. You can't be going with makeup and all that. You can't be going with revealing clothes and all that. So all these are conditions as well. We must not forget all. The next one is, Hanafis and Malikis say it's not permissible, makruh tahrimi, sinful and so forth. Because Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when we study all the ahadith on this topic, then, for example, I give you one, Umme Humayda Sa'idiyah came to the Master alayhi salatu salam, there in Medina Munawwara. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I love reading salat behind you. You are the imam. And Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I love reading salat in Masjid Nabawi. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, yes, I know all that. But your house has got three sections, the front, the middle, the one right at the back. If you read salat in front, you'll get more reward than reading salat in Masjid Nabawi behind me. If you read in the middle, your reward will be enhanced and increased. You read right at the back, you will get the optimum, maximum reward. So this is behind the Master Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore, Hanafis, Maliki say, no, it's not permissible. And in this day and this age, remember, is not something that we will encourage and so forth and so on. I was there in Cape Town and various masajid I visited. So yesterday, Fajr time, that is now Saturday, that we had a program, Fajr time, in the Waterloo Masjid. I asked them, what is the name of this masjid? So my student, mashallah, is the Imam Mawlana Farooq. He's there about 20 years plus. So mashallah, doing sterling work there. So he said that they're still making mashura. So I said, no, next time I come, you should give a name. And that's the first thing. Then they told me upstairs they renovated and downstairs and so forth. So I said that, see, even we say when you are building a new masjid or you are renovating, refurbishing your masjid, have facilities for ladies, but not for your local ladies, for the people who are traveling. Remember, we know South Africa is the crime capital of the world. It's not safe just to stop anywhere on the street at a robot or here and there garage on the road and you just read salat with our wives and daughters. So if you have a safe, secure place, the lady can come. I so many times we just stop at the masjid and then we'll go read salat there, and because they have ladies facilities, so remember, remember, it's very good to do that. So that till day, it's fine. But once you speak about the women going to the masjid to read salat, or so forth, that we dead against and say is not permissible. This is the ladies gathering in the house of a lady, and that is what the Shafi'is and the Hanbalis are saying is permissible. So we need to understand things in the proper context and their conditions attached, as I mentioned.
JazakAllah khair, Mufti Sahib. Is it sunnah to fast the entire month of Rajab and Shaban?
When you study the Salaf Sali, our pious predecessors like Hazrat Hassan Basri rahimahullah and others, so remember, as soon as the month of Rajab would start, then they would fast for 3 consecutive months. They would fast the entire month of Rajab. They would fast the entire complete month of Shaban. And Ramadan fast is obligatory and compulsory, mandatory. So we won't say it's sunnah. Always draw a distinction, a dichotomy between the two. When you have pious people, Sahaba, then you have Tabi'in, Hazrat Hassan Basri, and then what Tabi'in. So in a case like that, most to most, then you will say is mustahab or is good and so forth. But you can never classify it as a sunnah. Yes, when we study Siratul Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Master alayhi salatu salam, during the month of Rajab used to fast on Mondays, Thursdays. Or the Master alayhi salatu salam used to fast on the 13th, 14th, 15th. You can say both the Master alayhi salam used to do Mondays and Thursdays, and 13th, 14th, 15th of the lunar month, including Rajab. Yes, during the month of Shaban, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to fast the maximum from the 11 months, because Ramadan fasting is compulsory. Why Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam would fast so much during the month of Ramadan, the month of Shaban? So the Master alayhi salam himself said, "Wa uhibbu an yurfa'a amali wa ana sa'imun." You know, when you are a businessman, you belong to the corporate world, so you say your financial year ends at the end of February. So in Islam, we say that the year ends now for this purpose here in Sha'ban. So I love my annual actions now go up to Almighty Allah Jalla Wala during this month of Sha'ban, and it must be raised and go to Almighty Allah whilst I'm fasting. So that is one of the secrets. There are other reasons as well. But if you open Mustanah Ahmad and so forth, you will find these type of ahadith. So that month, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would fast excessively. And then Ramadan, the entire month, obviously, that's compulsory. So that will be the sunnah regarding Rajab and Shaban. So we won't say it's sunnah that you fast the entire month of Rajab and Shaban. Most to most, we can say is mustahab and desirable.
Mufti Sahib, our next question is as follows. Please advise which du'as to read for justice and for the truth to prevail.
Regarding the previous question, because many a time, many ulama, several students listen to the program, and then Alhamdulillah, Allah accept it. They say, but they want some reference. If you want reference of Imam Hazrat Hassan Basri rahimahullah and some pious people, they used to fast the entire month of Rajab and Shaban and so forth. Open Lata'iful Ma'arif by Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali. So wonderful, excellent book, and you will find the reference there. Second one is that tomorrow you have to go to court, or there is some issue, problems with your neighbor or somebody else, and now you want justice to prevail. So read these 3 verses. Remember, whenever people are making zulm, oppressing you, transgressing your rights and so forth, number one, Surah 40, verse 44, وَأُفَوِّدُ أَمْرِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. O beloved Allah, my matters, my affairs, I'm handing them over to you, Ya Allah. I don't want to do anything. You know what is best. You deal with that person, that organization, that party, whoever it is. Inna Allah basirun bil ibad. Verily, Almighty Allah is all observing and seeing what the servants are doing. Surah 40 verse 45, فَوَقَاهُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِ مَا مَكَرُوا. Almighty Allah will protect that person from those evil people who are plotting, planning your downfall and so forth. So imagine divine justice will take place and divine intervention. Surah 40, chapter 40, verse 44, read abundantly. Second one, Surah 29, chapter 29, verse 30. Nabi Lut alayhi salatu salam is there in Sodom and Gomorrah. The people are committing sodomy, homosexuality. Eventually, he made dua against them. Surah chapter 29, verse 30. Rabbin surni alal qawmil mufsidin. Oh, beloved Allah, you assist me against these troublemakers, mischief makers, criminals, ya Allah. So, in a case like that, Almighty Allah commanded the archangel Jibreel alayhi salatu salam, go there and pick that land, that sand up, and smash it to the ground. Lo and behold, when you go to the Dead Sea, when you go there, you will see it is the lowest portion on earth as far as altitude goes. You call it Ijazul Quran, the miracle of the Quran Sharif for all times, all places. Faja'alna aliyaha safilaha wa amtarna alayhim hijara. That Almighty Allah rained upon them the stones, their names were written Musawwamatan. That this stone is designated for this person, this gay person, and that stone for that homosexual. Imagine how Islam dealt with it. Therefore, it's punishable by death according to the Islamic divine code and law. Uqtul al-fa'il wal-maful is hadith in Bulugh al-Maram, Mishkat Sharif, Mustada Ahmed. Third dua, my brother, sister, you want justice to prevail, then read Surah chapter 3 and verse number 173. Chapter 3, Surah 3, verse 173. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. Allah Jalla wala is sufficient for us. Allah is the best one to take care of our matters and our affairs. So read this wonderful Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil. And if you can add this, it's excellent. Chapter 22, Surah Hajj it is, and verse number 78, فَنِعْمَ الْمَوْلَىٰ وَنِعْمَ النَّصِيرِ. So you will read Surah chapter 3, verse 173, and with that you add chapter 22, verse 78, فَنِعْمَ الْمَوْلَىٰ وَنِعْمَ النَّصِيرِ. Allah, you are the best of protector and the best of helper. So read all this, Allah Jalla wa'ala will let justice prevail.
I mean, Jazakallah khair, Mufti Sahib. Well, that brings us now to our very first ad break. Do you remember this afternoon's Q&A program is brought to you exclusively by the Capital Group of Companies, solely and only for the pleasure of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we also say shukran to Capital Air. Alhamdulillah, it keeps the equipment cold right in studio at 20 degrees. We continue after this.
This is Q&A. Send us your question on 084-786-3132.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to Q&A program. And our very next question for Mufti Sahib and to you, the esteemed listeners, locally, nationally, internationally. Quite a few questions have been coming in about the Q&A program. The Q&A is always on Sundays from 2 to 4, and also on Monday night you also have that opportunity right from 8 to 10 p.m. Well, continuing with the question, Mufti Sahib, our very next question: is it true that jinns stay far away from one that is Hafiz al-Quran?
Before we respond to that question there, I just need to make two things here, announcements. Number one, I must place on record my sincerest thanks and appreciation to my brothers in Cape Town. My brother Idris Mayat, mashallah, he went out of his way to make my stay there very, very comfortable. And Moana Ilyas, mashallah, the son of Bai Bashir, hafidhullah. So Almighty Allah, Jalla wa'ala, reward them. Yes, regarding the Q&A, we have it on Sundays, mashallah, during the afternoons 2 and 4, as you are listening to us now. And on Monday nights with Moana Arafat Hatia between 8 and 10. And likewise, early part of the morning, 6 times a week. Nowadays, mashallah, at 4:40, that's 20 to 5 in the morning, 8 a.m., right till about 5:10 or so. So for about half an hour also. And many, many people locally, nationally, internationally are deriving benefit with that as well. Question, does a jinn run away from a person who's a hafiz of Quran? It depends. Hafiz of Quran is that person who has memorized the entire Quran Sharif. So you must remember that 6,236 verses, 114 chapters. The hafiz, if he's practicing and he has the correct belief of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke of Surah Baqarah, and one virtue, Surah Baqarah is chapter 2, verse 2, 286 verses of there, and is the longest surah, atwalu suratin fil Quran, the longest chapter in the noble Quran. Yafirru minhu shaitan, the shaitan takes flight when you read Surah Baqarah. So that is true, but hafiz, you must be a practicing hafiz, not a hafiz that 11 months of the year, 10 months of the year, we're going to the parties, we're going with the drugs, we're busy with the girlfriends and porn and so forth. Then when Shaban, Ramadan comes, now we want to have a beard, and now we want to become pious a little bit, and then say, I will lead the Taraweeh prayer. So that is not hafiz, that is playing with the Quran, Allah forbid. So you have become shaitan yourself. So therefore, we speak of a hafiz who is an hafiz, practicing hafiz. Then Almighty Allah will protect you from the assault and the waswasa of shaitan, provided that you keep on reading the noble Quran abundantly.
Mufti Sahib, our very next question that we have, it says, my foy in Mauritius is in Sakrat. We want to know, what can we read? I can't read Salah at the moment.
May Almighty Allah Jalla Wala give all those who are ill and sick complete shifa. In Cape Town, one brother came to me on Friday and said his father is in Sakrat as well. What must we do? Three things you must do, O people. Remember, whether you are in your paki or napaki, O sister, whether you're in your menses or not, so you are there, so give out some charity. Ya Allah, make it easy for my beloved father, mother, my auntie, so that every person can do. Those of you who are pure and clean, so you are in the state of wudu, or you know Surah Yasin. So Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadith mentioned in Musnad Ahmad, Abu Dawood, Ibn Majah, and Ma'qil Ibn Yasarin radiyallahu ta'ala an qal Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, iqra Yasin ala mawtakum, read Surah Yasin for your deceased. Two meanings there, the person passed away, so continue reading Surah Yasin. Or the person is in Sakarat, in the pains and pangs of death, in the throes of death, so read Surah of Yasin. Allah Jalla Wala will make it easy for that person. So that's the second thing Islam taught us. Third thing, Lakinu Mautakum Bila Ilaha Illallah. You the people, but not the lady in menses. Remember the others that who are clean and so forth. You go there and read La Ilaha Illallah Muhammad Muhammadur Rasulullah, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. The aim is not to instruct and command that person, but a gentle reminder. Because man kana akhira kalami, that whosoever his last speech, remember, is the kalima La ilaha illallah, dakhal al jannah, that person will enter jannah, the hadith in Mishkat Sharif. So that is why we call it talqeen. Talqeen, to remind that person there. So these are the actions we should do. And if the person is really suffering now, so much pain and anxiety, and crying and screaming out of pain, so read the following dua. Allahumma in kanatil hayatu khayran lahu fa ahyihi. O Allah, if life is better, give life to that person. Wa in kanatil wafatu khayran lahu fa tawaffahu. O Almighty Allah, if death is better for this person, then give death to that person there. Open Mishkat Sharif, Musnad Ahmad. So everything Islam has given us, wonderful dua supplications, we beg and petition Almighty Allah Jalla Wala.
JazakAllah khair for that, Mufti Sahib. Next question has come in. Is there a specific sadaqah to this charge when the month of Rajab begins?
There's no such thing that specific, you must give this amount of food, or you must give this amount and this amount. The people on the 22nd of Rajab, they say you must give this food and this. There's no such thing. Some of the enemies of Islam, you must remember, they have brought about this day, and that is the day Amir-e-Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala Ta'ala whose demise took place on the 22nd of Rajab. So to say that on the 1st of Rajab you must give out this amount, or on the 22nd of Rajab you must give out this amount, there's no such thing in Islam. Charity, you give out voluntary charity any time, and the more you give out, the better it is. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala tells us in Surah 63, verse number 10, I read for you. وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَيَّاتِيَا أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتُ فَيَقُولَ رَبِّ لَوْلَا أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ فَأَصَّدَّقَ وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. Allah Jalla Wala is commanding the Muslims. Remember, because the verse before that, chapter 63, verse 9, is for Muslims. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. So, O Muslims, spend from what we gave you. It's not your business acumen, your shrewdness, that you accumulated this empire of yours. It is we, Allah's grace and mercy, that we gave it to you. Spend before death approaches you. Now death is coming. The person will plead, will beg Allah. لَوْلَا أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ جَلٍ قَرِيبٍ. Ya Allah, give me one day respite extension. Give me 1 hour extension, Ya Allah. فَأَصْوَدَّقْ. I want to give charity. At that time, he's begging Allah to give charity. وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. Then I'll become pious. Surah 63, verse 11. وَلَيْ يُؤَخِّرَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهَا. Allah does not grant any person respite and extension when the time of death approaches. So therefore, spend every day. اتَّقُ النَّارُ وَلَوْ بِشِقِّ تَمْرَى. That fear the fire and you will save yourself from the fire in Jahannam and the hellfire, even though with a portion of a date, 1 rand, 50 cent, 20 cent, $1, quarter dollar. So spend in the path of Allah, give the poor people, Muslim or non-Muslim, empower them. So that is to show our love for Allah. I love Allah, I love Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I love Islam. So now the deed and the creed has to correspond. So how will it correspond? We give the cash or the kind or the food out for the love of Allah, for the love of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Swadaqa. Now you are truthful in your claim. Look at the beauty of Islam.
Mufti Sahib, our next question is, what can one read when one has to make a decision, an urgent decision?
The best thing to read is, provided that the options you have are permissible. You want to marry Aisha, Fatima, Zainab, you want to take one wife only, one man, one vote. So in a case like that, remember you read, Allahumma khirli wakhtarli. You want to buy a house, you want to buy a shop, you want to buy a car, but you want one, but you got 3-4 options. Allahumma khirli wakhtarli. Oh, beloved Allah, you select the best for me and you choose for me. Whatever comes in your heart that time, you don't have to repeat it the next day. Same time, that is the immediate response Allah Jalla Wala is giving you, because now you place your trust in Allah. Once now you are satisfied, فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. You made up your mind, hence put your trust in Almighty Allah. We get men, they say that, you know, my istikhara was positive, and now I'm going to get married to Fatima, Zainab, Aisha, Jamila, whoever, but now I'm having doubts. So all these doubts is waswasa and whisperings from shaitan. Remember that. Your istikhara came out, you didn't hear anything bad, so now it is shaitan who's troubling you. So once you made up your mind and it is something that's permissible, so place your trust in Allah and go ahead.
Mufti Sahib, is it sunnah to have 7 ajwa with milk in the morning, or the 7 ajwa alone?
The hadith in Bukhari Sharif, you must remember, Mustafa Rahmatulil Alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man tasabbaha bi sab'i ajwatin, that whosoever has 7 ajwa dates, one by one, not all 7 you put there in your mouth one time, you get sick like it. So one by one you eat it, remember, before Fajr, after Fajr, لَمْ يَدُرُّهُ سُمٌّ وَلَا سِحْرٌ. So then no poison and no jadu, no witchcraft will harm that person there. So it's authentic hadith, Bukhari Sharif. It's got nothing to do with milk and that. Occasionally, you want to have it with milk, that's fine. But you can't say the sunnah will only be when you have the ajwa dates with milk, that's incorrect. Occasionally, you want to have milk with it, and that's fine, so there's no problem. And if you know anything about ajwa and dates and so forth, and now it's freely available in Medina. We were there now last week, Sunday, we were still there. I left Sunday morning, mashallah, and we had our brother Mahmoud. 7:15 in the morning, we had nashta, then rasta. I told him I must be there in Makkah before 11:30. We were there with Allah's mercy, and we had good room, good salat, everything, subhanallah. There's an imam there, you must listen to him read, subhanallah, new imam. He reads, when we were there, Fajr Salat, Sheikh Yasir Ad-Dawsari. Wonderful, beautiful kirat, mashallah. Anyway, so you, my brothers, sisters, you're going to Makkah Mukarramah, Madina Munawwara, Allah Jalla Wala, take us. So one is to buy ajwa. One is you buy al-ajwa, al-aliya. Because in ajwa, you get different categories as well. So the supreme quality is called, and the word ajwa al-aliya is mentioned in Sahih Muslim also. So it was prevalent already there during the time of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that is the best of the best dates you can buy. Ajwa is the best, and the better than that is ajwa al-aliya, the supreme quality. So that will be something expensive, but mashallah, we bought them now. So that is ajwa al-aliya. So they try that, and inshallah, Allah will give you complete shifa and complete cure.
I mean, Mufti Sahib, if the husband wants to have another wife or a second wife, and if the first wife does not want to be a co-wife, can she ask to be separated?
We need to look at this holistically and not selectively. First, we will address the husband. Why you want a second wife? What's wrong with your first wife? So is she old? Is she cold? Is she sickly? So why is it? So that's the first issue. Second issue is this. You husband, you need to be honest to yourself. Surah 4, chapter 4, verse number 3. Quran Kareem warning all the husbands who want to take second, third, fourth wife. فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا. If you fear you cannot do justice with your 2, 3, 4 wives, فَوَاحِدَا, then you stick to your old wife. Old is gold, brother. Third one, if you want to take your second wife, then you must have the financial means. Some people want to take second wife, they can't even afford one wife properly, and they're not fulfilling her rights, but they want to take second one. It's not permissible then. Some people want to take second wife, but they're looking for a young tot, so 18, 20, 25, but Baji is 60, 75, 80 years old, is upper 6, and now you must remember for what you're going to do. Your wife also wants her needs to be fulfilled. So remember, in that case, it's not permissible for you to get married as well. So there are conditions attached. It's not carte blanche. Then if that husband took the second wife, and then he's treating both the wives equally, one night, expenses, all these type of things, and in one week, whatever agreement they reach amicably, then you, the wife, you cannot demand divorce and so forth. But if he's doing injustice, that is favoring the new one, neglecting you and so forth and so on, then remember you can request divorce or you request a fasakh. You go to the ulama, you go to the jamiyah, to whoever you have confidence in, the tribunal, and you request a fasakh, annulment of marriage. But to you husbands, we need to be honest to ourselves. Anyway in the world, put 100, put 1,000 Muslim husbands who have 2, 3, 4 wives. 80% are making zulam and oppressing the wife. Either oppressing the new one or either oppressing the old one. So 10-20% only you will find that are doing justice. And that's a major, major sin. مَنْ كَانَتْ لَهُ إِمْرَتَانَ فَمَا لَا إِلَىٰ إِحْدَاهُمَا جَاءَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَشِقُّهُ سَاقِدٌ. Is hadith in Abu Dawood and Tirmidhi. You got 2 wives as example, 2, 3, 4 wives. You favor one of them, you will come tomorrow on day of justice. Your whole body will be bent. Allah Jalla Wala humiliating you, O husband, because of your injustice. So think properly. It's not just, you know, hit and run business. So they are. Then when you die, there's in a... The other day, one poor lady asked the question, or the person asked the question, He says that, you know, this old man here, he's 50, 60 years old. You want to get married to an alima. She said she's alima. And she's 18, 20 years old, 22 years old. And she's jumping. I want to get married. So remember, you cannot marry that person there because you looking at his old gold card and looking at his debit card and credit card and all that. He's a very wealthy millionaire person, you see. And her father, mother, dead against it. My daughters, my sisters, all of you, listen to me. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La nikaha illa bi waliyin." You cannot get married unless your father gives permission. We're speaking of a Muslim father, biological father, not stepfather and adopted father and foster father and so forth. So take the blessings of your parents and then inshallah you will lead a good life. And break the heart of your parents, then remember you living in sin and that nikah is null and void and your children are illegitimate and bees, and that is the verdict of Islam according to majority scholars. So we need to be clear on all these issues.
Jazakallah khair for that, Mufti Sahib. Mufti Sahib, can we follow the radio to perform our Salatul Jumu'ah?
Nobody will come to the masjid, brother. So remember that you listen now, you sit in your shop and you say, "I'm listening." One lady asked me in Makkah many years ago, he said that, you know, "I to bo haru lage mane." So that, so the TV, they carry the salat there. So I just follow the TV. So I said, "Kala, you can't do all these type of things. Tomorrow you will tell me that you got your fridge, your freezer, you just put one black cloth there. And you say, I can make tawaf around the fridge also, or around the freezer also." So remember, it's all shortcuts, loopholes, not permissible. There's that you're 5 kilos, 1 kilo away, you're listening to the radio, seeing the TV and whatever. We didn't say TV is permissible. I'm just explaining to you what happens nowadays. You say, "No, I can see the imam. He's 1 kilo, 5 kilos away, so I follow him." All this, your salat is null and void, not permissible.
Mufti Sahib, our next question is pertaining to bitcoins. Is it permissible to invest in bitcoins? And Mufti Sahib, it's quite a common question today on the screen. I see there's about three questions pertaining to this.
Regarding bitcoins and so forth, you must understand, we live in a country. We all know how corrupt it is. We all know the crime is out of control and so forth. But the fact remains, there are certain laws. So what we have to do is, that is the government, in our case South Africa, has it recognized Bitcoin as a currency? You go with the Bitcoin to a supermarket, to a shop here and there, and then you can deal with it. No, it has not recognized it. So therefore, we say it is not permissible to invest in it and so forth and so on. But you have ABC country, XYZ country, where they recognize it as a currency and you can buy, you can sell everywhere, like how we do with our rands and our cents and so forth. So in that country, there it will be permissible. But in our country, remember, as yet, it is not recognized as a currency. So remember, people are investing. We all know that. People, some supermarket, maybe even allow it, but we're speaking the norm, we're not speaking of the exception. So therefore it is not permissible in Islam regarding the Bitcoin and so forth. And sometimes you will find that these are scams also. Some people, I don't say all, they use so that people invest millions and then suddenly they lost so much money. So therefore stay away from it. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam's wonderful commandment and injunction, da'ama yuribuka ila ma la yuribuk, authentic hadith in Tirmidhi, leave that which places you into doubt and offer that in which there is no doubt. So in that way your income will be halal and tayyiba, what you consume will be halal and tayyiba. Islam does not teach us only halal, what is permissible and lawful. Islam speaks about a greater value, and that is tayyib, it must be pure and wholesome as well.
Mufti Sahib, since Ramadan is approaching, there are many huffaz who normally smoke cigarettes. What is the ruling regarding making salah behind such an imam?
Remember that people who smoke cigarettes and so forth, you are guilty of a major sin. Let us look at it. Every day you are taking 10 cigarettes, 20 cigarettes. We take a minimum 10. So every day, how much does it cost? There's no benefit in it Islamically. So Surah 17, chapter 17, verse 27 in the 15 Jews, 15 Supara. إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ. The people who squander their wealth, they are the brothers of Shaitan. So imagine you're going to make imamat, but you're the brother of Shaitan. Second one, Quran Kareem taught us, كُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا. Eat, drink, and don't waste. So this is total wasting. Authentic hadith, Imam Malik mentioned in Muwatta Malik, Ibn Majah, various compilations, Musnad Ahmad. La dwarara wa la dwirar. Don't cause harm to yourself. You see, yesterday I met a person. I was in Johannesburg, so the person told me, you know, I used to smoke so much, my lungs are finished. So you cause so much harm. Wala dirar, you cause harm to the malaika. You desecrate the sanctity of the masjid. You cause harm to the musalli next to you. So remember, it's crime upon crime upon crime. Zulumatum ba'dwa fawqa ba'd. So therefore we say definitely not permissible. People who have this filthy evil habit of smoking, you should not even allow them to be on the musalla to make that imamat, remember. But these youngsters, Afzab, you know, they sharpened in us. We old, you know. They will put so much itar and all these type of things, and they'll brush their teeth and put this and all these gadgets. They'll camouflage it properly. But remember, all this does not change the masla. Still, I would never advise the trustees or people to put, whether he's a youngster or old person, and be an imam, he's smoking, and it's worse when they smoke in public. When we go for Hajj, Umrah and so forth, especially at Hajj time. Now we are in Mina, Arafat, Muzdalifah, here and there. So I warn the Hajis, I say that smoking is haram in Ihram. I repeat, smoking is haram in Ihram. Quran Kareem states, Fala rafasa. No husband-wife talk, no all hanky-panky business when you're in Ihram. Wala fusuqa. Don't commit vices and sins. It's worse, we are in Ihram, we are the guest of Rahman and the guest of Allah. Wala jidal, don't argue and fight and just debate and all these things here unnecessarily, whilst you are in Hajj and so forth. So some of the brothers, I want to go make wudu or something, I see they're hiding in a corner, and now they're pulling their cigarette. So I don't tell them anything. When the time comes to lecture, I say, brothers, we are asking Allah, Allahumma jirna minan nar. Ya Allah, save us from the fire. But some brothers are making their own smoke already. You see, they started the fire themselves. That is your smoking. So give up this filthy habit. It's got nothing to do good, nothing to do with Islam. And you will be disqualified if people follow the Sharia. You can't be an imam and smoking and all these things.
JazakAllah khair for that, Mufti Sahib. Well, that brings us to the end of the first hour of this afternoon's Q&A program. After the break, we move on to the second hour, the second part of the Q&A program.
This is Q&A. Send us your question on 084-786-3132.